stay ahead of the latest digital trends with the Kim Komando Show, Saturdays at noon on KYKN.
Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's Monday.
Hey, it is Monday, and it's a beautiful day to live in the mid-Willamette Valley. Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. My name is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to Newsmakers. And I guess I have to start the hour out with my apologies to the community, huh? Right? I was just a wee bit late coming up to the studio, and apparently I sped through a zone. And a kind officer of Kaiser Police Force pulled me over, let me know that I had done wrong.
Nice of him.
But I got off with a warning.
That was nice of him.
So my apologies to the community and any streets and residences and everything else I might have passed.
Pedestrians that had to jump out of the way.
We got to be careful not to get too busy in the holidays.
Yeah.
I have this disease, Dave Bourne. I have this disease where I always think I can do one more thing. Just right after this email.
Right.
You have that?
Okay. An extra minute.
I'll make one more phone call and then I'll go. Or, I can stop and get this one more errand done. And then you end up behind schedule and speeding. So,
how long does that one extra errand take you?
You know, usually twice as long as you expect.
So you budget 10 minutes for it and it takes you 20.
At any rate, the gentleman officer was quite polite and he knew I was going to be on the air in a few minutes. And
we'll speak highly of him.
But I do have... I do, in general, have an excellent driving record. So,
In general.
I don't think I've had any citations for years.
As opposed to me. Yeah.
All right, a lot of things to talk about here in our hour. We're going to finish up our hour with a guest. We've got a great couple of weeks coming up between now and the end of the year.
Actually. Yeah.
We've got two county commissioners coming in as guests. We've got a city council candidate. We've got an interview tomorrow coming up with a gentleman that runs Creekside Country Club.
Yes.
Which has been back and forth in the public discourse for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years about its potential redevelopment of that area and water rates and a couple other things. So that'll be an interesting interview tomorrow. Some great things. But today there's a whole bunch of things, Dave.
Right.
From our U.S. representative to where should the crosswalks go? There's a lot happening
what?
In our community.
And the homeless, too.
And where should the homeless go? Today marks the first day of the ban of camping in Salem city limits. So we'll see how this goes. We'll see where the tents go and if they do disappear, right? So,
they'll probably go out to the city limit signs. That's where I would go.
Maybe they're all going to walk to Kaiser.
Right out to the city limit sign.
There you go.
That's where I would camp.
Hey, speaking of our U.S. representative, I do want to touch on that just a little bit. Kurt Schrader, for most of us, is our U.S. representative.
Right.
He's a Democrat. Kurt is, he considers himself a blue dog Democrat or a kind of a moderate Democrat, right?
Moderate.
Business-friendly Democrat. And the things, I've heard him speak a number of times. And he does a nice job when he's in the community addressing, you know, different groups and so forth. And he talks a good game. Then there's votes that I don't necessarily agree with and so forth. But
right.
We could do worse, right?
We could, yes.
Okay, so if you're a Republican and you're going to be represented by a Democrat, you could do a lot worse.
We've had worse.
So, yeah. So he did announce last week that he... his impeachment vote will be a yes. So he is
really?
Going to vote yes on the impeachment when it comes before him.
Time to vote him out.
And here's the thing about that. And one thing that Representative Schrader did this year that completely catapulted him, in my mind, to a different plane of servant is he voted against Nancy Pelosi as chair, as House Speaker.
I agree with that.
Takes a lot fortitude.
Yeah.
Because you know, and he even joked, he says, well, pretty much no legislation with my name on it is going to move forward. Right? Because things in Washington, D.C., they're petty.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C., they're about power. They're about status. They're about, you know, don't you know who I am? You know, and when it comes to the all-powerful role of Speaker of the House, that determines what moves forward and what doesn't, what hits the floor and what doesn't, mm-hmm. and who gets committee assignments and who doesn't, and so forth. To cross that person is, gosh, that'd be extremely hard.
Is that like political suicide? Is that what they call that?
Almost. Because, you know what's happened, is now there's a primary coming up next May for him to hold a seat, and he's not getting his kind of support he gets from the national body like he usually does. And there's an opponent running against him who is further to the left than he is.
Hmm.
So I hate the use of the word primary as a verb.
Mm-hmm.
But they basically found somebody who's further left that's going to support the further left agenda and support the Speaker of the House to run against him and run him out.
Wow.
Right?
That's crazy.
So really interesting. Interesting to see if he survives the primary challenge.
Right.
And I think if he survives the primary challenge, then certainly he wins the seat in the general election. Sorry to my friends who are running against him.
Name recognition has a lot to do with it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the fact, and the mayor mentioned this, by the time you're the mayor slash representative slash, you know, house member, whatever, by the time you've been there 2, 4, 6, 8 years, you've met with hundreds, if not thousands, of different people personally.
True.
Right? You've addressed their group. We've addressed their concerns. You know, people have seen you in the community, the name recognition, the face recognition, and even a personal connection, even if it's a different party. People know who you are. People know how you present, and they like you or they don't. So that is hard to overcome. And once they're incumbents, it's hard to kick anybody out, even if they're not qualified. But to have the Democratic caucus say, well, Kurt, you're not our guy anymore, because he didn't think that the most polarizing woman in Congress should be the Speaker of the House.
Right.
And I applaud him for that vote.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to politicians, you don't see people do things like this very often anymore. It's, how do I stay in my seat? How do I get reelected? How do I survive? How do I get more power?
Right.
And instead it was like, I'm going to vote against the power.
Mm.
It might be my fault. I did challenge him once, and he probably doesn't even remember, so I'm not really taking credit. But I did challenge him once, and I said, hey, if there's a whole bunch of you, as you say, that want to just get things done. Kurt is fond of saying, we want to get some work done.
Right.
At the end of the day, we want to do the work for the people, and there's a lot of good work happening. There's a lot of good work that we can get done on both sides of the aisle. So he is, now I forget the name of the coalition, but people that just want to do the work. They're not interested in what the party leadership is doing. They want to do the work of the people. I said, if there's so many of you like that, why didn't you have a block and you vote for somebody who's not so polarizing?
Right.
And
yeah.
Maybe he did. Maybe
that could have been it.
I'm sure it wasn't me, but I applaud the vote anyway. And so, you know, we're looking at this impeachment vote, and we all knew when it started how it was going to go down. And if you're Kurt Schrader, even if you think the case against President Trump is weak, he's going to have to vote yes, or he'll get obliterated in his own primary.
See that? Well,
right?
That reminds me of Hollywood. You go against Hollywood, you get blackballed, you don't get any work.
And then eventually they catch up with you on Weinstein, right?
Right. Jeez.
All right. Shemeketa is in the news. Crosswalks are in the news. How we handle solid waste is in the news. Restaurants are in the news for the holidays. We're going to be talking about all this week, so stick with us. This is Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Here's Hunter with your HalfPriceOregon.com deal of the day.
We've got the perfect stocking stuffers at HalfPriceOregon.com. We've got certificates for massages, Domino's Pizza, wine tasting for two, bowling for just $8.88. We've got meals at Annette's in West Salem, Los Valles. Get to HalfPriceOregon.com and pick from dozens of popular items for stocking stuffers. That's HalfPriceOregon.com.
Thanks, Hunter. Find this deal and much more at HalfPriceOregon.com.
This is Lois Anderson, Director of Oregon Right to Life, with some very good news. The number of abortions in Oregon continues to decline, but we still have work to do. Unfortunately, almost half of all abortions are paid for with state tax dollars. There's more good news, though. You can take advantage of Oregon's political tax credit and redirect some of your taxes from paying for abortion to helping stop it instead. This amazing tax credit lets you take some of your tax dollars and give to a political committee like Oregon Right to Life PAC. The political tax credit allows some married couples to give up to $100, singles up to $50, and receive every penny back when they file their Oregon tax return. To learn more about this credit, call 503-463-8563. That's 503-463-8563. Or visit OregonRightToLife.org. Please take advantage of your political tax credit. Every baby deserves a chance to live.
Out here, there are many jobs to do. You need the kind of power, versatility, and comfortable handling that comes with your territory. Luckily, there's a tractor built to pull all that weight, the Kubota L-Series. Get an L-Series tractor for zero down with 0% APR financing for 60 months, plus a 6-year limited powertrain warranty. Now through December 31st, 2019, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
See Lynn Benton Tractor just off Highway 34 and 99 East in Tangent and online at LynnBentonTractor.com.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. And before we get back to our regular scheduled noon Newsmakers,
give something away.
I have a family four-pack of tickets to the Capital City Classic. All tourney passes here for December 18th through December 23rd. And it's a family four-pack to the first caller right now, 503-393-1430. That's
1430.
Sorry. And first caller.
First caller.
I have another pack to give away a little bit later on, so keep listening.
Oh, great. Hey, welcome back, folks, to Newsmakers. This is where we talk local issues primarily.
Primarily.
Sometimes we have a little fun. Sometimes we talk a little bit of national. But local issues in Marion and Polk County. Thanks for being with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Hey, Dave, did you order anything for Christmas off of Amazon? Did you buy anything off of Amazon?
Why?
Did the package come on time? I'm laughing because there was a truck that turned over on Highway 22.
I know, right?
And I kept thinking, somebody's not getting their next day delivery. That was my first thought. And it's terrible. I should have said, gee, I hope the driver was okay.
That should have been your first thought.
Yeah, it should. I am terrible.
No, but you know, another truck came and picked it up.
No injuries, no citations. So no other vehicles involved. It's fine. But, you know, had an Amazon truck full of Santa's presents, right, or something, or decorations for the holidays. Luckily, nobody was injured. But
it wasn't too far from the distribution center, right?
Yeah.
Right down the road. So another truck probably pulled up. A couple workers hopped out. They started shuffling packages from the the downed truck to the upright truck.
They probably have some sort of contingency plan for these kinds of things.
I would hope.
They come with a little scanner and they throw in a truck and everything just like a short delay. Anyway.
Yeah.
The things that happen. Now that we have an Amazon distribution center or fulfillment center, they call it in our community.
Still a distribution center.
One of the things that I have not heard people connect in this discussion the last couple of months is the closing of operations or the layoffs happening at
NORPAC.
And they're kind of coinciding with Amazon looking for 800, 900, 1,000 employees. So hopefully some of them will be able to find continued deployment should they get laid off. And although we're hopeful, again, that there's a buyer, there's some hints of that the buyer may yet still be found that could maintain the buildings in the same use. And so the employment base would still be needed. They're running for now, except for the ones that closed on schedule because they are seasonal.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So we have the greatest economy in the world right now. If you want a job, you can get a job, no matter what. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Yeah, they're out there.
They're out there.
So, but we do hope. And I did ask this question, and it's not a community I'm deeply involved in when it comes to food processing, right?
No.
So I'm not knowledgeable in the wherewithal. But I did poke around a little bit, and I was told that Americans' buying habits have changed in their vegetables, their fruits and vegetables, and not as many people are buying them frozen or canned.
And how are they getting fresh?
Fresh. Yeah, especially in this day and age where you can buy like fresh blueberries in February, right? You can buy kiwis any time of the year because of transportation and the world economy and so forth. So people have more opportunity to buy things fresh, and we're not buying them that bag of frozen mixed vegetables in the same quantity that we used to. So maybe there is a market segment whose demand has been depressed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So really the question for me is, you have this built-in clientele to provide you with the product, and you have this ongoing, I mean, incredible technology and workforce and investments. You have this ongoing thing. It's not like you still have startup costs, but you have all of these things. What failed? Why is it that they couldn't turn a profit? Why isn't they couldn't sell the farmers goods and stay in the black? And that might be part of the answer.
Well, didn't they just upgrade all their operations? They moved all their operations here.
Mm-hmm, the headquarters, yeah.
Yeah, the headquarters. And then they also upgraded all their equipment, what, 3-4 years ago?
Depends on which plant you're talking about and what they're processing.
Where the headquarters was.
Yeah. So that.
So they made a major investment to do that.
Yes.
And they didn't see this downtrend?
They didn't. At the time, market demand was strong. I remember reading about that. It was strong.
That's how fast it turned.
The future looked bright and so forth. So
that's scary.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's go back to elected politics because we have an open seat. There was an article in the Salem Reporter, a couple articles recently about how many seats will be contested this upcoming election year for the Oregon House, Oregon Senate, where you don't have an elected incumbent running for the seat.
Hmm.
And so the Democrats, the Republicans, they are seeing that as opportunity and trying to jump on somebody who is not firmly entrenched, right, in incumbency. So that includes, of course, a new representative and a new senator in our own area with Senator Denise Bowles.
Right.
Denise Bowles was appointed to be a House representative. And then with the passing of Senator Jackie Winters, she was appointed to replace her. So Senator Denise Bowles has not yet run for and won that Senate seat. Right. Raquel Moore Green, Representative Green, took the seat that was formerly occupied by Denise Bowles. And so she is a House representative. She'll be representing her community in the short session while she's launching her first campaign to get elected to that seat. So primary in May, general in November. So there's two right here in our community. Three, actually, if you broaden us our circle out a little bit for KYKN listeners. Because you have Sherry Springer, who is not returning. So there are a bunch of people running for that seat already in the Republican primary. So we have Republican candidates, five. Five of them are lining up, and they filed to run for Sherry Springer's seat. It's House District 17. It's an interesting district. It's got a lot of rural areas surrounding the Salem area and so forth. So you have some of it in Marion County, some in Linn County. You got Detroit and Gates, Idana, Lebanon, Lyons, Mill City, Scio, Staten, Sublimity, Sweet Home.
Oh, wow.
And Waterloo. I've never heard of Waterloo. Anyway, that's largely a rural district, and she is not running for re-election. So you have five people running just in the primary, just the Republicans. So it is a seat that's likely to stay with the Republicans. The voter registration is strong and so forth. But gosh, I guess a lot of people want to work and for not very much money and get complained at a lot.
Right.
So
I think, you know, there's that trend that I'm going to see in 2020.
What do you think? What's the trend?
More moderate. More Republican. I think everybody is just, I don't know if everybody's like me, but I'm tired of what President Trump has called the swamp. I keep looking for the drain plug. I want to pull that plug so badly on the swamp.
Yeah.
Because this, like, from this impeachment thing down, just want to pull the plug and just get him out.
You and me both. I think that we're both going to be interested observers here on the state level and at the national level. So we've been pontificating here on the Democrats went so far left and so hard at the taxes this year. Are moderate Democrats and independents going to bail on them?
Right? Yeah.
Are you going to see a plug being pulled and said, if you're one of the people that voted on every single tax measure, you thought no matter what tax it is, it's good for Oregon. If you're one of those people, are the voters going to rebel on that? Are they going to go,
I am.
That's a great idea.
I am.
Yeah, you because you vote for so many Democrats who vote for tax increases. Anyway, so we have that here. We have that. Did they go too far? Will we see a swing? That's what we're going to be watching in Oregon. National stage, exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Vice President Biden's talking about it. It's like people up on the podium when he says, folks, you're not going to get elected this far left because America's not this far left.
That's right.
And so now, and hold on, we've got a moderate Democrat in Oregon. We got to kick that guy out.
Yeah.
Right? What are you going to do about Schrader? He's not a whacked out leftist. What are we going to do? And so let's see how that works when it comes to
our Democrat friends should vote for him and keep him in there. They should support his decision to vote against Pelosi.
Yeah, I think. Maybe.
But the impeachment vote, that kind of almost cancels it out for me.
Yeah.
That's kind of a toughie. Did he do it to keep his position? Because he's still up for being pulled out of there or ramrodded out of there by the rest of them.
Yeah, his opponent, I believe, was a former or current mayor of Gresham. The mayor of Gresham, which was also in District 5. So, but seen as far more liberal and left than Kurt Schrader.
And
maybe
and
we should
you've
take
seen the city of Gresham and their problems, right? It's horrible. Yeah.
Well, he did such a good job. Then he should go to Washington and continue the work. Maybe we should take a book, play out of Rush Limbaugh's book, and I'll have all of us change our voters' registration. Everybody register Democrat so you can vote him at the primary. So
and then change it
Kurt.
Back?
Then you can vote for Kurt.
Wow.
All right. Going back to District 19, so 17, sorry. District 17, like I said, it's pretty strong in voter registration for Republicans, but we're likely to see, unless somebody else jumps in, we have Scott Sword. He's a logger. He used to be mayor. Three times he was mayor of Vernonia. Jamie Kate, she's a fifth-generation farmer. Well, she's a leader in a community in Lebanon. Susan Coleman, Sweet Home city councilor, and she was actually a legislative assistant to Sherry Springer. So she's been in the House and seen some goings on. And Tim Kirsch, eight terms. He was mayor of Mill City. Of course, Mill City, we know the size of Mill City.
We
right?
do.
So these are all smaller, rural, and there's a going trend here. Logger, farmer, mayor of Mill City, and so forth. And lastly, Bruce Cuff. He's a real estate professional, and he apparently is a serial candidate for a number of offices. So you can look at that and find that in the Statesman Journal, actually. So that'll be an interesting race to see who comes out of there and what their platform is and whether it's towards the moderate end or whether it's hardline right on the Republican primary. And it will also be interesting to see what kind of strong candidate, if they can find one, to run in this, if they're going to put any resources in this, in a House seat that the Democrats are not likely to win.
And just for the record, I don't want it to swing so far to the right. That's not what I want. We're so far to the left right now in House and Senate and all that. Let's come back to the moderate, both sides. Not swing hard left, or right, no. Because then there's a backlash on that, too.
Right. There's always an equal reaction, right?
Yeah. Something you don't want the pendulum to swing so far that there's just every 4 years is a big swing. You don't want that.
I don't think that any, I've said this before and probably always will, I don't think there's any legislation that's passed without a single vote from the other party that's usually good public policy.
Good.
If you can't get one vote from the other party, I really have my doubts of whether or not it's really good public policy.
Right.
We'll talk about this either today or later in the week, but it intersects with what is the governor going to do about the liquefied natural gas pipeline? Is she going to kill it or not kill it? And is she the governor for all of us or the governor for the people who are anti-carbon fanatics? Right. All right, we got to take a break and then we'll give away some more tickets, so stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
Time now for your Capital Toyota message of hope from Liberty House.
As the holiday season is upon us, Liberty House would like you to think about ways to help your whole family thrive. Ask other caring adults to spend time with your child. Try to see things from your child's point of view. And when your child pushes you away, give him or her space, but don't leave.
This has been your Capital Toyota Message of Hope from Liberty House. Find out more online at libertyhousecenter.org.
Saving on energy bills is bigger than saving a buck. It's saving for what's most important to you. Whether that's a smarter phone, gardening supplies, family trips, or a smaller carbon footprint to protect Oregon's most beautiful natural places. No matter why you save, you can find the best deals in energy savings with Energy Trust of Oregon. Visit energytrust.org/save to get $100 off a smart thermostat. energytrust.org/save.
If that report card isn't where you want it to be, Sylvan can turn the school year around. This is Kim Dorn, owner of Sylvan Learning Center in Salem. At Sylvan, we have solutions to fit your child's academic needs. Our professional staff members develop a personalized learning program that incorporates the exact content your child needs to strengthen their skills and develop a love for learning. Sylvan equals real results, guaranteed. At Sylvan Learning Center, it's never too late to get started, so call us today, 503-363-2996, or visit us online at sylvanlearning.com.
Are you searching for a great Christmas gift idea for dad or mom? Then drive straight to Wood Cellars Parkway Furniture and see their amazing collection of recliners. They have a wide variety of fabrics, colors, and styles. Their mini-powered and manual recliners are on display. Go in and find out which is comfortable for you. They have convenient layaway and they accept major credit cards. Wood Cellars Parkway Furniture is located just off the parkway on Del Webb Avenue, or find them on Facebook. That's Wood Cellars Parkway Furniture.
At Par, we're more than just lumber, because we know people want more than just lumber. That's why we sell grills, sealers, stains, wheelbarrows, rags, bags, extension cords, shop lights, saws, blades, ladders, and, oh yeah, Yeti coolers and Yeti thermoses.
If you're building or replacing the siding on your home, Par Lumber is the place to go. You'll find a knowledgeable team of experts and a wide selection of cedar and fiber cement siding products.
If you want your yard or business to look luscious, then do what I did. Call the pros at Golden Rule Lawn Care. This is Sergeant Mike, and I'm pleased with the service that we receive from Golden Rule. I'm always confident that they will do just what they agreed to do. There's no communication problem. Locally owned and managed, Golden Rule is who you need to call for regular maintenance or a one-time cleanup. Go to halfpriceoregon.com today and purchase a $100 gift certificate for just $19.99.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And the first caller right now, 503-393-1430. That's 503-393-1430. I have a family four-pack of tickets to the Capital City Classic All Tourney Pass, December 18th through the 23rd at Willamette University. It's the first caller. You get those for free.
Free's a good price.
Family four-pack of four tickets.
What do those cost?
$35 each.
Wow. It's good to be a listener at KYKN.
That's right.
All right. We're giving stuff away. And, of course, I don't take advantage of the Half Price Oregon as much as I should. Sometimes those deals are just crazy.
Yeah.
Right? You should like never go out to eat without having a Half Price Oregon coupon, because there's usually some restaurants and things, right?
Definitely.
Pretty amazing.
Good stuff.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking a little bit about national politics, a little bit about state elections, a little bit about local personalities and such. Something swung back into the news that happened just last month, right? When the protesters came in about the pipeline. We were talking about it before the break, so I thought I'd wrap up that conversation. So they went to the governor's office, and I don't know if you saw it in the newspaper online, and there's a whole bunch of people in the ceremony office at the Capitol, which you can see if you listen to Mary Louise Van Atta's advice to always, you know, tour the Capitol every now and then.
Sure.
Anyway, so they were sitting in, and they got arrested, incited or whatever, by the state police, and Marion County District Attorney is not going to charge them. So it's one thing for police can arrest you, but if the district attorney is not going to prosecute you, it's basically done. It's done.
Good. So pretty much a waste of resources, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think most people agreed that the state police did what they had to do, what they needed to do for security and safety and responsibility. But I don't think this is a bad decision from the DA. Every now and then I'm going to agree with the governor. I can't disagree with her all the time, right? And the governor says that she agrees, then she's glad that no charges are going to be pressed. So,
well, they're exercising their free speech.
Every now and then my credentials as a fiscal conservative interject and kind of command the day. And in this case, go spend money prosecuting somebody else.
Yes.
I mean, some people that drove up from out of town to wear a colored T-shirt and sit in the governor's office and trying to exercise their free communication and this and that. Do I really want to use some lawyers whose salaries we pay to go out and try to prosecute these people for their sit-in?
No.
I don't think so. So, quote from the governor's office, Governor Brown supports freedom of expression for all Oregonians, and she agrees with the district attorney's office that pursuing charges would not have been in good use of public resources. There you go. I agree with Kate Brown. How about that? Hundreds of protesters came in. That was just before Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
So, and this is the pipeline, and I talked about this just before the break. And sometimes you see it, people run on a primary, and you have to run hard left or hard right to win the primary. And then you swing to the middle because you have a general election to win, and you have to get some accolades from people on the other side of the aisle. And people, and I really wish they wouldn't run hard right or hard left, but I don't know. There's realities of politics that are just distasteful, and nothing I'm going to do about it. However, they become centrists, and then if they're elected, they morph, good ones morph, into truly being there for all Oregonians or all constituents. She's not the governor. Kate Brown is not the governor for the left side of Oregon. She's not the governor for the Democrats. She's not the governor for climate change. She's the governor for all of Oregon, or should behave that way.
She's not.
So how many people, how many jobs, how much economic development, how much traded sector money coming into the state? If you're not familiar, folks, there's a pipeline, there's a natural gas pipeline hub down in the Klamath County. And the proposal is to connect that to Coos Bay so that we can export America's natural resources and do something about our trade imbalance.
Right.
We're going to export energy. Oh, but it's made of carbon. Wah, wah.
Well, get right? rid of it.
So we can't have this, and we're going to have to kill this. And so will the governor look at the opportunity for Southern Oregon, Southern to Central Oregon, for this pipeline to take place? Will she look at the opportunity and the jobs and the economic impact? Or will she just look at the anti-carbon fuel, the climate change activists on one side and cater to them? Whose governor is she?
Right.
Well, I think she's already answered that when she told us all that the era that rural Oregon economy mattered is over.
Yeah, that pretty much said it all.
I don't think I'll ever get over that. If I were running for governor, Who's going to run for governor, by the way? If I'm going to run for governor, I'm like, she's the governor of the Portland metro area, people.
Yeah, pretty much.
She thinks the economy of the rest of the state doesn't matter. She doesn't think, hello? It's like, oh, well, and she was referring, of course, to logging. But she kind of missed out. Logging's kind of important to our
just,
state.
Just a few.
Never mind the fact that it is an economic sector that's incredibly powerful, 100% renewable, 100% sustainable, and it sequesters carbon. Never mind all of that. You know, so let's throw that. Well, that's coming. Don't even bring it up. That was, you know, that's so 20 years ago, right? So
talk about being out of touch.
That and agriculture. Did you miss the agriculture?
A little bit.
Wow. How about
wine and grapes, they run into that sector too.
Is she the governor for all of us?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. And is she a good or bad governor? That's one thing. And then there's, well, is she a good or bad governor for what sector? So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. I'm hoping there's a lot of pressure for her to accept and for her administration to approve the pipeline. So the pipeline was already approved by the feds. So it's got the green light from the feds, and it's undergoing permitting process by the state now, still.
Mm.
So I don't know what the timeline is for that, but
cue the Jeopardy theme.
It's a marine terminal in Coos Bay, and heaven knows Coos Bay and the coast and the coastal counties could use an economic shot in the arm, right? Or maybe we should just treat it like we, you know, like the container shipping out of the Port of Portland and lose that as well.
That was ridiculous. That was an embarrassment. Is what that was.
Yeah.
They want to be the hub of the Pacific, yet they let the shipping lines go? Seriously?
Yeah. And that's one of those things, and it's complicated, and I'm going to ignorantly make it.
How complicated could it be?
I'm going to do what
shipping.
Exactly what I think talk radio people should not do, and ignorantly talk about things in more simplistic terms than they are.
Okay.
However, It was related and coincided with a lot of labor contract negotiations, and there were labor issues and strikes and so forth. And it's a case where a bunch of longshoremen had their union working really hard for them, and they all lost their jobs. Right? They all fought and fought and fought.
That's
and
true.
Like, forget it. We're closing it down.
Yeah.
I know that there's international trade issues and there's, you know, cost competitions and facility and blah, blah, blah. But really, at the time, it coincided with some real problematic labor negotiations. And what they should have done is protect their members' jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have to do to make sure that our longshoremen have jobs and can pay their mortgages, right? And support their spouse, support their kids, and so forth.
They all wanted raises.
They have jobs.
No, they all wanted their contracts fulfilled.
All right.
Raises. And
hey,
that killed the jobs.
We have a
same with Seattle, too.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear this?
No.
That $15 an hour minimum wage that they're paying, restaurants are closing because they can't afford to pay them.
Well.
Mm.
Speaking of restaurants, have you been back to In-N-Out Burger yet?
No, I haven't been back, no.
But
soon.
All right, but soon. Lions will die down.
Maybe Friday.
Hey, we have a guest coming in. Who's coming in?
We do. We have the gentleman who is running the Capital City Classic.
Okay.
Matter of fact,
we'll
talk about that next.
All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Time now for the home comfort tip of the month.
Do you have an area in your home that's uncomfortable? Oftentimes, running the furnace fan will help balance the temperature, or have us come out and add more ducting to your HVAC system.
Visit homecomfortinc.com.
Your home for Oregon Ducks basketball.
Now to Pritchard. He fires a deep three. Yes!
Patterson with a poster. Houston grabs it and scores.
Follow along all season as Oregon looks to defend its Pac-12 tournament crown.
Corner three. Oh, my goodness.
Now a lob to Okoro in transition.
Don't miss a second of the action on your home for Ducks basketball.
1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's getting colder, and Jiffy Lube knows that keeping your car's engine operating at the correct temperature will avoid a freeze-up. Brr! Protect your engine with Jiffy Lube's radiator antifreeze exchange service. Get money-saving coupons today at JiffyLubeOregon.com.
I'm Aaron Hackney, owner of Done Right Plumbing.
We have qualified guys that are licensed plumbers coming to your home that know how to do their job. At Dunright Plumbing, that's what you get. You get exactly what you're paying for, and you should.
Dunright Plumbing makes house and business calls.
You know, I wouldn't send anybody to your house or business that I wouldn't send to my home or business.
Dunright Plumbing makes house and business calls.
Trust, honesty, at Dunright Plumbing, we do have to make money, but we don't have to make it all in one job. We provide a good service for an honest wage.
Dunright Plumbing makes house and business calls.
Customer service, we leave your house the way that we found it when we got there, without the plumbing problem, though.
Dunright Plumbing makes house and business calls.
We definitely make house and business calls 24/7. I'm Aaron Hackney with Dunright Plumbing. I'm a plumber, not a radio guy.
They get the job done right at Dunright Plumbing.
Need plumbing? We'll be there. DunrightPlumbingSalem.com. Dunn, R-I-T-E, PlumbingSalem.com.
Great holiday savings are going on now at Cascade Farm and Outdoor, now open in Kaiser. Stay cozy and warm this holiday season with $30 off all Pendleton shirts. Or step in style with 20% off all Ariat Western footwear. And get $10 off a pair of men's Levi's original fit or shrink to fit jeans, now only $29.99. Celebrate the season with great deals at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Northwest, homegrown, honest values.
At your locally owned Domino's Pizza, we believe you deserve a great deal when you come in and carry out a pizza. Not $5 for a pepperoni pizza that's been sitting in a warmer for who knows how long. Not $12 one day a week for pizza you have to bake. Are you kidding me? Domino's will have a large, hot, fresh, made-to-order pizza with your favorite three toppings in your hands in less than 15 minutes for just $7.99. And that's all day, every day. That's right. Come in and pick up a large Domino's pizza with your favorite three toppings for only $7.99. Now that's a deal.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. We've been talking about some open seats happening in the Oregon legislature. 15 of them is the number that it's going to...
That's a lot.
They'll be elected for the first time in that district, either a Senate or a House seat, including a couple of people who have been appointed in the interim. And we're talking about a Representative Schrader's vote on impeachment. We are anticipating a vote for yes for impeachment and wonder how much of that he feels is necessary to fight in his own primary, as they primary him for not being liberal enough and not going along with Nancy Pelosi. So many other things in the news. There was, I want to touch on this real quick and we'll get to our guest. You can go online and suggest now. The city of Salem's using a online submission to say where you want a crosswalk.
Really?
Where you want not just a crosswalk, but pedestrian crossing controls and things like that. We've talked about volunteering in the past and being on boards and commissions, the Citizen Advisory Traffic Commission in Salem, CATSI as they call it, a silly acronym, but anyway, that's what it's called. That'll go presumably before them, but staff is receiving dozens, really, of recommendations of where they'd like to see more pedestrian controls for safer crossing, and you can find it online. So at City of Salem, I'm sure if you Google it, you can find it. But they found this program out of Texas. I think it was Austin. And, yeah, out of Austin. And it was successful there. So online application. 20 intersections have been submitted before they launched the – before they even publicized the launch of the website.
Wow.
So word was getting out already. So people do want to have some insight and some input, I should say, into how traffic controls are done.
Well, so, the city government and the state and the federal, they're all supposed to work for us.
Oh, is that how it works? All right.
We're their boss.
I'm trying to find the website. We go to cityofsalem.net or Julie Warnicki. She's the transportation planning manager. She's the staff person who'd be in charge.
She's
of this.
The lady.
She's the gal. So, maybe if we have time, we'll talk about how people should use turning lanes, huh?
Right.
One of our favorite things. So, on the phone, we've got our guest.
Yes, Chris Roach.
Greetings. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Capital City
doing
Classic.
Wonderful.
Capital City Classic starts Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
This Wednesday. What's going on and where?
Well, we've got a big 16-team varsity boys high school basketball tournament at Willamette University, and it's a six-day event going the 18th, which is Wednesday, like you said, through the 23rd. And we've got some amazing talent coming to town. We have the number one ranked player in the country, a 7-foot kid from Temecula, California, who goes to Rancho Christian High School, which is one of the very best teams in the country. But a kid by the name of Evan Mobley, who has played for Team USA for his age group growing up and is going to go to USC next year in 2021, will probably be the number one pick in the NBA draft. So,
wow.
It's going to be an exciting time. We've got seven Mid-Valley teams playing, including West Salem, South Salem, Sprague, West Albany, Corvallis Central, and Silverton. So these local kids are going to get a chance to play against some of the very best in the country in a tournament that should be really exciting and a lot of fun.
So there's speculation this young man can be number one in draft in a couple of years after he goes to USC?
Well, he's the number one ranked kid in the nation right now, and he's gonna go to USC, and he'll be one of the one-and-done guys who leaves school early and heads for the NBA draft, whether you like that or not. That's kind of the system out there in place right now. But he's 7 foot, and he's very agile and athletic. I mean, he's got amazing mobility for a kid his size, and that's why he's ranked so highly. But yeah, he could be the number one pick. He could be like a Patrick Ewing or Kevin Durant or somebody of that nature who is makes that kind of impact on basketball going forward. And it's kind of exciting to have a kid like that in Salem before he kind of arrives at that level.
Maybe the Blazers will get lucky and get him.
That would be amazing. You know, that would be a good thing.
Maybe they'll have the opportunity to draft him, but they'll pass.
They need help.
They'll pass on him.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So they have an opportunity to see this young man here in Salem along with how many other teams?
Well, there's 16 varsity teams, and we have 28 sub-varsity freshman JV-type teams. Of the 16 varsity, there's another team from out of state, the Lanier Longhorns from Georgia, and they have a really good backcourt. Sion James is going to Tulane, and then another really highly rated kid named Andrew McConnell. So they're a very good team, too. And then 14 other Oregon teams. So it's 16 teams all together in the varsity component of things. And really an exciting time. And we've got teams from Portland and Eugene and all over the state. But seven Mid-Valley teams has us excited because the Mid-Valley teams are good. I mean, West Salem's going to be very good this year under Travis Myers. And they've got a kid, Scoggins, who's a great shooter and a really good player. And then South Salem is always pretty good, and I think they're going to be really good this year as well. Trey Galbraith and under Coach Travis Brown, and then Sprague has Mason Lomax, and they're a great team too. So under Jordan Granetto, so it'll be fun to see if any of these, you know, any of the Salem or Mid-Valley teams are able to advance and kind of make a run in the tournament.
We're talking to Chris Roach about the Capital City Classic coming up starting on Wednesday and running to the 23rd. How do you attract such teams from other areas of the country, since high-level players and people that travel so far to come to the Capital City Classic?
Well, I think it's a credit to Oregon and to Salem. You know, they had an interest in seeing this part of the country. And then we've been doing this now for 5 years, and I think the reputation of the tournament has grown to a level where now it's much easier than it was in those initial days. But, you know, it's always, you have to compete, and there's a lot of opportunities for especially the kids that are, you know, this high profile and this good. It's not easy to attract them, but you have to try to put together a tournament and an event and surrounding support that makes it, you know, of interest to them. And so far we've been able to do that. And this field is our best yet, and having the number one player in the country is really a coup for the Capital City Classic and for Salem, and we're just hopeful that it's something that a bunch of basketball fans in the Mid-Valley will come out and support and watch and enjoy.
How do you see this growing in future years? Is success going to be built upon success? It sounds like you've done amazing things for the last 5 years.
We hope so. You know, it's one of those things that takes time. You know, you have to kind of build a following, and people have to kind of understand what it is. But our attendance has been growing each year, and we're hopeful this year it'll take another nice bump with the field we have in place and the number of local teams are involved too that are really pretty good. So we think all those things will help. You have to kind of get a mix between local and the national. You know, it's a balance there. But we think we've kind of hit a good level that way this year, it's going to be some just tremendous basketball. And if you want to see talented kids, I mean, the Rancho Christian team has more than just Mobley. Their point guard is a 6'5 kid who's committed to Gonzaga and will be playing up in Spokane next year. And then they have, I mean, five or six other kids that are going to play Division I basketball. So they are they're a juggernaut.
Holy cow. And
if you want to see, you know, some really great, talented kids, that's going to be the place to be, is over at Willamette next this week and into Monday of next week. But also to see how, you know, the local kids fare against those type of kids and that sort of talent. And for the local guys, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to really test yourself and play against the best and to see how you can do. And I think it's the type of thing, hopefully, that will be a memory for them. You know, no matter how the games go or how they play, you know, they'll remember the day when they went out and were on the same court with Evan Mobley.
Or even for spectators to say, oh, the person I'm watching.
I saw him win.
I'm watching him on ESPN on the Final Four or, you know, at least March Madness, right? I watched him live. I couldn't believe his moves, and I saw him do this and right here in Salem. So that's pretty incredible.
Last 30 seconds here, Chris. Tell us how you people can get tickets and where it's at.
Sure, you bet. You can get tickets at the gate, just showing up, you know, Wednesday through Monday. Or you can go to capitalcityclassic.com and get tickets there. We have some great deals. There's discounts for seniors and veterans. And we have special deals for students because we want to get as many kids out there as we can. So if they have an ASB card with them, I think Salem Kaiser kids can go all day to the event, to any one day to the event for $2.
Nice. Chris Roach, Capital City Classic, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. We've got another great show coming tomorrow. Stick with us for KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.